Psalm 119, if you'll find that this morning. And I know you understand this, but the Psalms, Psalm 119, is the longest chapter in the Bible from the longest book in the Bible. And I think you'll like this. The longest book in the Bible is a song book. And there's nothing like having a song in your heart, being able to sing. Everybody sings. Some people you may not want to listen to, but everybody sings. Everybody has, doesn't matter. You know, it's a universal language, isn't it? Music. And God gave us music. I think back in chapter number 4 of the book of Genesis, it talks about this man back there that invented some musical instruments that we use to this day. Chapter 4 of Genesis, very interesting. That's when folks were taught and actually learned how and why they should praise God. Isn't that interesting? Your theme, bring Him glory. You bring Him glory by praising Him. You praise Him in song lots of times too. That's why it's an integral part of the church service. When you meet here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, whenever, a song, He hath put a new song in my heart. And so it's very interesting. The longest book in the Bible, but also the longest chapter, 119. Now, I don't know about you, if anybody in this room has ever memorized Psalm 119. If you have, God bless you. I'll work on the first verse, and we'll see what happens after that. But there's so much material in there. And also, I'm just repeating what you, I believe, already know. Without exception, I think there may be two verses, or perhaps three, and I challenge you to check this out, that do not mention the Word of God, but every other verse, all the other verses, I should say, mention something about the Scriptures. Aren't you glad that you have a Bible? I mean, it gives you direction for your life. I think about the Psalms that give us a song. I think about the book of Job that tells us how to deal with tough times. Book of Ecclesiastes. Teaches us how to live each day. And, of course, we get wisdom each day from the book of Proverbs, just in a nutshell right there. I mean, it's so clear. And so aren't you glad you have the Bible? But as we look at this morning, you'll see where it mentions so much about this business of the Bible. So let's read a few verses. You just remain seated as we read this morning. But look at Psalm 119 and verse number 1. And look what it says there. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. So mark that down mentally. Number 1, law. The Word of God is the law of the Lord. Look at verse number 2. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies. That's the Word of God right there. His testimonies. And that seek Him with the whole heart. So we've got testimonies. We've got law. Look at verse number 3. They also do not iniquity. They walk in His ways. Well, guess what? The Word of God are His ways. It's very simple, very easy for us to understand right here. It's just the ways of God. Very simple. Then look at verse number 4. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Okay, the Word of God are the precepts. So you see what we're saying here. And then look at verse number 5. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Well, Thy statutes refers to the Word of God. So this whole 119th Psalm with 176 verses is all about the Word of God. I love the Bible. I don't understand everything. I'll take what I do understand and apply it to my life, and I'll work at trying to understand more. But I'm just glad I have the Bible. You know, the Bible is your food. How many of you have eaten today? Probably everybody in this room has eaten today, eaten something. Well, you will not grow spiritually unless you feed yourself on the Word of God. Matter of fact, you'll become anemic, you'll become sickly, you'll become what you should not become if you do not feed on the Word of God. And then, matter of fact, I'm going to jump ahead here. Look what it says in verse number 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? Look at this. By taking heed thereto according to Thy Word. Okay. Word, again, is the Word of God. This is, how many times have you heard your preacher say, Well, take the Word of God, or we're going to read from the Word of God. Okay, another reference to the very Word of God, but it says how you cleanse yourself. How do you, I'm hoping that in the last 2 or 3 days, everyone in this room has taken some kind of a bath. I mean, what's that got to do with Sunday morning? I don't know, but we do that, don't we? Wash your hands. How do you do it? You cleanse your hands. You know what I'm saying by that? Perhaps a little bit of silliness here, but let me tell you this, that you cleanse yourself by the Word of God. How many of you have ever done this? You've read the Word of God, you've sat down, or maybe you stood up, or maybe you laid down, whatever, and you're reading the Word of God, you've read several verses, and after you've read that, you don't remember a single thing you've read. It's happened to me. I mean, you read it, and your mind is somewhere else. You read it, but you know what? Listen to this, putting the Word of God through you cleanses you. It can cleanse your heart by just simply putting the Word of God through you. I probably told this story here before, but when I was a youngster, my mother baked bread every morning, and she had this funny-looking sifter. It looked like a big, large tomato can with the ends cut out of it and had a crank on the side of it. Put the flour in, you cranked it through. Some of you nodding about that, you've seen that. She threw it away one time, didn't need it anymore for whatever, maybe got a new one. I asked her if I could have it. My brother and I out in the backyard playing in the mud and the gravel and so on. We put gravel in there and mud, and we put the crank, trying to crank it through. And one day my brother, we're doing this very simple, just playing. And one day my brother brought the garden hose over, and he tried to wash out everything that was in the sifter because it didn't go through. And you know what happened? For the most part, it cleaned everything in the sifter. It cleaned all the little pieces of mud and dirt in there and so on, washed everything out. That's exactly, simple illustration, that's exactly what the Word of God does when you put it through you. That's why you ought to read the Word of God. You ought to read it most when you don't want to read it. Amen. Yeah, right there, that works. And so the Word of God is also like a mirror. In the New Testament, it speaks about looking at a glass and so on. Probably everybody in this room has looked at a mirror this morning, or you wish you looked at a mirror. Amen? I mean, you look in the mirror. You know why? The mirror tells you the truth. The mirror will tell you what you won't tell yourself. Yep. So there you go. So the Word of God is so important here. I got to get my notes open here. By the way, I do have notes here. You know why? Because I make a list of everybody that was here last time I preached, and I'm checking to see if they're here today. Okay, so, dear me, I got it here somewhere, Kevin. I know I've got it here somewhere. But understand that the Word of God does those things to you. And so that's why it's so important to read the Word of God. But let's continue on here. Look at verse number 6, please, Psalm 119. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto thy commandments. There's the Word of God again. Where do you find? There's more than 10 commandments, by the way, in the Word of God. I know we have that law before, early in the New Testament, or in the Old Testament rather, but it's repeated in the New Testament except the Sabbath day. But understand that all these things refer to the Word of God. Then look at verse number 7. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. Okay, so we got the Word of God here, the law, the testimonies, the ways, the precepts, the statutes, the commandments, the judgments. I mentioned verse number 9. We read it a while ago. The word and so on. Verse number 11, a very familiar verse. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You have the Holy Ghost of God, author of the Word of God, communicating the Word of God to you, and it helps you during a time of temptation. So understand, you're a very familiar psalm, but all about the Bible all the way through. Well, let's stop and have a word of prayer right there. Lord, I pray now you'd help us for these remaining moments in this service. Again, I pray that you'd guide my thoughts, guide my words. And I pray, Lord, that you'd search my heart this morning on this 13th day of April, 2025. Lord, I never take it for granted that today, whatever today is, my heart needs to be searched. I pray the same for those my hearers here this morning and those watching online, Lord, that you'd search our hearts, as the psalmist said in another psalm, and know us and see if there be something there that needs to be dealt with. Lord, we're humans. We're creatures of habit. We're prone to wander. So, Lord, I pray that you'd take a good look at our heart, and I pray that, Lord, the action we would take when you convict us from your word, you would be pleased with. And it would benefit us in our Christian life. It would also help others along life's pathway. But, Lord, most important, that it would bring glory to you, the changes that we make in our lives. For it's in your name I pray. Amen. So we understand here, we know that the author of the Scriptures is the Holy Ghost of God. The Bible says that men were guided by the Holy Ghost of God to pen what they wrote. Those were imperfect men. There is no one perfect except Jesus. Amen? We know that. So these individuals that penned the Word of God were sinners just like you and I, but God used them impeccably and unspeakably in a phenomenal way to bring us what we have today, these 66 books that we call the Bible. However, now you may be aware of this, but there's something fascinating and interesting and sort of stunning to me when I first read it and discovered it in the book of Psalms, in Psalm 119, 176 verses. Would you agree with me that the writer, the man who penned this individual psalm, I believe personally it was David, that's only my opinion, it'd be difficult to prove, but it's got David's DNA all over it, and we'll see that. But talking about the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God, His judgments, His commandments, His precepts, His ways, His Word, all the way through. But then I want you to look over at verse number 176, and I find an amazing thing. Verse 176, look at the very last verse. The guy has spent seemingly an eternity penning the Scriptures, writing the Scriptures, talking about His ways and His commandments and His dictates and His statutes and His Word and so on, all the way through. You think the more you read the Bible, the more spiritual you would sense you are, the more you read the Bible, you'd feel the closer you are drawn to God. The more you read the Bible, you'd feel like I'm much more obedient at the end of 176 verses than I am now after writing. Have any of you ever sat down and wrote Scripture? And when you wrote the Scripture down, it does something to you and it stirs your heart and so on. Writing it down, it's one thing hearing it, because in one ear and out the other, but it's another thing to memorize it, but it's something else to write it down. You remember 100% of what you wrote down because you got it right in front of you right there. But look what happened to this guy after this. I shouldn't say this guy, but the individual who God used to pen this 176 verses. Look what it says, the very last verse. I have gone astray. I'm stunned by that. The man just penned 175 verses so far, talking about everything in the Word of God. And thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By paying heed to the Word of God and all those wonderful things. Now he says, the last thing he says, I've gone astray. I don't know. Well, I do know, but that's a little bit strange right there. I have gone astray. Look at this. Like a lost sheep. This guy doesn't mince words. And by the way, can I say this morning in all love and kindness, but this man is admitting something that many of us don't have the guts to do. If the man of God, who God took and chose to pen the words 176 and much more in the book of Psalms, if that man, after penning or writing, I should say, 175 verses all about the Word of God, and then he comes to a conclusion in his life, by the way, just being honest with himself, just being candid, just being open, he says, you know what, I've gone astray. If that can happen to a man who penned these words, who wrote these words, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God to write, if he can go astray, so can I. If he can go astray, so can the musician. If he can go astray, so can the deacon. If he can go astray, so can the nursery worker. If he can go astray, so can the usher. You know what I'm saying? If he can go astray, then it's possible, would you not agree with me? It's conceivable, it's possible that I could go astray. Even after, how many of you read the Word of God? You read it and it pierces your heart and so on, but then right after that, within hours or maybe a few days, you find yourself doing something you ought not supposed to do. Or you find yourself saying something you should not say. Or you find yourself being something you should not be. That's going astray right there. I'll clarify in just a moment, but here it says, for I have gone astray like a lost sheep. And then he says something very interesting. Again, he says, seek thy servant. You know, and the Bible's full of verses that tells us to seek God. But here the psalmist is saying, God, you seek me. God, I'm seemingly lost. I'm not talking about his salvation, but he's gone astray. He's wandered off course. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandment. Well, I'm glad he remembered the commandment. That's a good thing right there. But here, I'm thinking that after he just wrote 175 verses, and then he pens in that 176th verse, I've gone astray. I think, wow, that can happen to you or me. Just a transparent guy right there, simply being clear and clean, coming clean about it. There's no doubt about it here. Now, if it's possible, as I said, if it's possible for him, it's possible for me. If it's possible for him, it's possible for you to go astray. It is. It just happens. Now, to go astray, it's very clear in the King James Bible, in our English language, it says, I have gone astray. How can you get confused with that? I, that's me. Have, that's what's happening. Gone, that's after I'm going. Astray. That astray is, well, let me tell you, astray means this. It means to, listen to this, it means to wander from proper limits. Hello. To wander from proper limits. It means to roam without purpose. Roam without purpose, that preaches a message. It means to become distracted. I discovered something just recently as I combed through the Bible and thoughts come and you want to prepare messages around certain subjects. Did you know, that the word distracted is a Bible word. I'm not going to tell you where. You can look it up for yourself, but you will find it. We live in a very distracted world. Every one of us in this room will be distracted somehow today, away from where we're supposed to be looking, away from what we're supposed to be thinking. It just happens. I mean, we live in an information-seduced society. Wow. Think about it. Most of you carry what you call a device on you. By the way, that's a Bible word too. Don't look it up right now, but yeah, not good. But and I love the technology and so on. I mean, I talked this morning to a missionary in Africa just at the touch of a button. I love it. I'm not knocking technology, but it's very interesting. I used to do, when I was pastoring, I used to do jail visitation. I'd visit folks in jails. I've done it for many years before I even came to BC. And many times you go to a jail, they have to, of course, they have to frisk you and check you out and check your criminal record and all that kind of stuff, providing you don't have one, you're allowed in. And then you sit at basically a 3x5 glass window. You ever done that? Anybody ever done that? You sit in front of a glass window, about 3 feet by 5 feet, perhaps. That's usually the standard size. And you talk to someone that's on the other side. Think of this. Now we got a device, usually a 3x5 inch screen. And we're behind that thing. And it's got a grip on us. Just saying. All I'm saying is distraction. That's part of going astray. It's to wander from a fixed route. Now, let me clarify. I'm not talking this morning about a great or a deep sin. I'm not talking about some kind of wicked idolatry or wicked immorality. Not talking about that necessarily this morning, but what I'm saying is very easy for us to be drawn astray. And I believe this is a man who was just being honest with himself and honest before God. I mean, he was convicted, and he did say he remembered the commandments in the very last few words in the chapter. But still, he said, I have to deal with this thing. I need help from the Lord. So you can be in the service of the king and go astray. Did you know that? There's a song. Matter of fact, it's in your songbook. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. Another verse in that same hymn says, it speaks of the fact that we wandered away. We won't take time to look at it this morning, but we wander away as a sheep. We wander away, and in that very song, he's referring to this chapter, he's saying, Lord, these are the words, seek us when we go astray. Hello, that's in Psalm 176. seek us when we go astray. Not if we go astray, but when we go astray. So, understand here, he owns the situation. I love this. He owns the situation. He cannot, the psalmist, he says, Lord, I've gone astray. He just right out there, right open. Lord, I've gone astray. He does not blame his spouse. He does not blame his kids. He does not blame his parents. He does not blame the church. He does not blame the pastor. He does not blame Christian friends. He said, me, Larry, I've gone astray. Whoever the psalmist is, he owned it. He did not try to pass the buck, I guess we'd say. He did not try to lay the blame on. He said, Lord, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek me. It was all about, he talked about I here. Do the verse again, 176. I have gone astray, number one. Like a lost sheep, seek thy servant. That's me. For I do not forget thy commandments. It's all about him right here. And so I like the idea that he owns the situation. Did you know that every believer, according to the Bible, every believer must give account for himself? I can't give an account for Jose. Oh, my soul, I'm glad about that. No, just kidding. He shared a songbook with me there this morning. It helped me. My spirit was lifted when I sat down and listened to him sing. So, anyway, just saying. Yeah. That's right. So, understand here, he owned this, and I like the analogy of the sheep. I love it. What did he say here? He said, like a lost sheep. Now, every believer must give account. We talked about that. But I like this analogy about the sheep. Here's what he's saying. Here's what he's saying when he said, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. He's saying, I have left the pasture. Not the pastor, but the pasture, okay? I have left the pasture. I have strayed from the fold. I'm not as close to the shepherd as I ought to be. Listen to this now. He said, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. But there's a powerful thought right here, and that is this thought. In John chapter number 10, the Bible tells us, my sheep hear my voice. And it goes on to say, I'm paraphrasing here, it says, no man can pluck me out of my Father's hand. So you understand good and listen good this morning. You do not lose your salvation because you wander astray. You have eternal life. You have blessed assurance. The Bible talks about that through the whole book. There's no question about it. So, yes, we will go astray. And the psalmist is helping us with this. We will wander away. Probably everyone in this room could think about something or some area of your life you wandered away on, but you come back and God draws you back. He brings you back. Like the Bible says about he'll leave the 99 and go looking after the one lost sheep. So this man said, seek me, Lord. Seek your sheep. Come find me. I don't know. Has this ever happened? I don't know where I am. I don't know the way back. Have any of you ever gotten a call from somebody or a text and saying, they say, listen, I'm lost. Can you help me? And what do you, or someone's called you and said, I'm really lost. I can't find my way to such and such a place. What's the first question you ask them? It's usually this, where are you? Well, if they knew where they were, they wouldn't need you. Okay? When they say they're lost, they can't find their way to where you are. And so that's what he's saying here. He said, I can't find my way. Now, you may have a prodigal moment or a period of time but you call on him to help you find your way back. You call on him to help you to find your way back into the fold. You call on him to help you find your way back to where you ought to be, following the shepherd. You see, he is still my shepherd here. He's saying, I'm like a lost sheep, but you are still my shepherd. The Bible says, and you know this, he will never leave you and never forsake you. You are the sheep of his pasture. So understand, you don't, because one wanders away, they do not lose their faith. He never, by the way, he doesn't kick you out of the family either. Say, well, out of here, buddy. Just because you've wandered off, I live in a farm. Basically, it's a hobby farm. And I've talked to you about my animals and so on. And I have alpacas there. And alpacas are wanderers. They wander all over the place. And you know what? Animals are brilliant, frankly. With their eyes, they have huge eyes. With their eyes, they see green grass somewhere where they're not supposed to be. the end of our property, one end of the property is a bit of a cliff, and there's a water down, a river down at the bottom where the water runs by, and of course it's noisy, and they know it's down there. And we had a washout about 4 or 5 years ago there, and put a fence around it, but you could fall right off the thing. And so one day I'm walking out the driveway. Our driveway is about 400 feet long. I'm walking out the driveway, and I see the youngest of the alpacas. Her name is Princess. I see her standing out on a little wee piece of land. Somehow she got around the fence. She's standing out on a little wee piece of land that's not any wider than she is, and it's on a cliff. And the grass is very green out there because no other animals have got to it. She's standing out there. She, you know what? The herd is over there, and they're pack animals. They're herd animals. They always stay together. But she wandered away, and she's out there feeding on the fresh pieces of grass that are on the edge of a cliff that could fall by her very weight. So what did I do? I got some treats. And I went out there, and I called her back, and finally she turned around and saw, and she come back in. But, you know, a silly illustration perhaps, but the truth is we do that as individuals. So here he says, I'm like lost sheep, but I am your sheep. I am your sheep. Understand that. So praise the Lord. He will never leave you or never forsake you. Of course, the illustration is very simple. I'm sure I've done this here before, but I'm just doing it to remind everybody. This is me right here. I'm blue today. This is me. This represents Jesus. I'm in Christ. The Bible says that. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The Bible says that Christ is in God. So for Satan to get to me, he's got to get through the hand of God. He's got to get through the scriptures or through the representation of Jesus to get to me. And that, pardon the English, but that ain't going to happen. He's not going to get me. We will go astray. It will happen. Distractions take us that way. That's why we need the Word of God. Here's a man, 175 verses. He talks about the Word of God and all that it does and all that it does to help and so on. And then at the end of it, I think perhaps after seeing all that he went through, talking about the Word of God, he said, wow, I do not measure up. I have gone astray. Lord, seek me. I'm lost. I'm like a lost sheep. Draw me back. And God did just what he asked him to do. I've gone astray. He didn't say, I've run away. He didn't say, I've escaped. He didn't say, I bolted into the brush. He didn't say anything like that. Just simply wandered off limits. Simple story. When I was about 6 years of age, I was with my younger brother, 3 years my junior, and we were out with Mom shopping at the big department store. And we, of course, you know, we were hiding behind stuff. My brother and I playing hide and seek in the store, and Mom was over there doing her shopping and looking at yard goods and furniture and all that kind of stuff. And we were just playing around, and all of a sudden, I realized I could not see my mother. My mother is one of the sweetest people I've ever known. Just so sweet, so kind, so loving. Yet she still knew how to use a switch. And I'm not talking about a light switch, okay? Some of you get that. But my mother, back in those days, big department stores, they had big pillars that held the roof up, massive big pillars. My mother saw that I was lost and I was crying. And I was, Mama, Mama, Mama. She hid behind one of the pillars, looking out at me, just peeking around the corner. I'm having a fit. One of the clerks comes over and says, what's the problem? I lost my mother, I lost my mother, I lost my mother. But she had eyes on me, and she watched me. And then finally, she stepped out. And when I saw her, I ran to her. And I was rejoicing that I found my mother. And all I'm saying is, you will rejoice when the Lord draws you back to himself. How many of you would admit that there's times in your life where you've been in certain circumstances that you never wanted to be in? Because just wandering away. Now we keep our focus on God. I understand all that. We keep our focus on the Lord, keep our focus on his word. But I understand that sometimes we just wander away. You got to admit, it happens to you. You're driving and you don't know what way to go, and all of a sudden you find yourself in a cul-de-sac, that no way out. You drive all the streets and all around the area, and you can't get through. You turn around and you go back out the way you came in, and then you reroute. Now we're spoiled today. We have GPS, and you know, it tells us what to do and where to go. That They're all ladies on my GPSs that tell me what to do. I'm uncomfortable with that, but it always gets me to the right place. So anyway, that happens. So when you're lost, he will show you the way. But can I do this? He said, I'm like a lost sheep, but I'm still your sheep. So how about this? You're going to say, this is crazy. This man's crazy, but bah, bah. I live in the country. I know what they sound like. Bah. Bah! And the more they are lost and the more they wander, the louder they cry. Bah! Bah! Can you do that with me? One, two, three. Bah! No. Oh, hey, that's pretty good right there. No, not bad. So all I'm saying is, you know, you got to understand, you know, you call out to him to seek you. So understand that you can go astray. That's very possible. I'm not judging anybody. I have to look after myself. Understand that. But so do you. Have to look after. I have gone astray. So, when you've gone astray, when you can't find your way, how many have ever misplaced, I'll say, how many of you have ever misplaced your cell phone? My hand's up. Oh, my soul. It's almost perfect in this room. Very few people. I think maybe some people aren't being, some have gone astray right here. How many of you have lost your car keys or misplaced your car keys? Yeah, that's better right there. It happens, doesn't it? What do you do? You understand the meaning of seek when you've lost your car keys or you lost your phone. You'll rip the place apart trying to find it. I speak from experience. You will. But understand that we do tend to go astray. And when you go astray, you say, I'm just out of sorts. I'm not where I should be with my relationship with God. And I don't know if your pastor says different, believe him, not me. But I wouldn't go to the Christian bookstore to find help. Hello. I go to the Bible. I know there's lots of good things at some Christian bookstores. I understand that. But the Bible will help you find your way back. You go to God. When it seems that prayer is unanswered, you want to find out why. Lord, one or two things happen. I believe this to be true. When you have an earnest prayer and you pray and you sense that answers have not come, either one of two things. God will want to change your prayer request so you're asking for the right thing so he can give it to you. You folks have raised children. You know that. I mean, my son, when he was 12 years of age, he said, Dad, can I start the car and drive it around the yard? And I thought, no, you can't do that. However, I do have a John Deere mower. You can start that and drive it around the yard and just pull that lever that cuts the grass. That's all I'm saying. And so God knows what you need, and God will direct, no question about that. So prayer unanswered, Lord, maybe I've gone astray. The songs that we sing, I love the hymns you folks sing, but when they do not stir your heart, there's something out of whack. Is it possible that some incident or some action has got our mind and we're distracted and it's possessed us and we're just on edge? And you come into the place and you're a little bit late for the service, and everybody's singing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops on us are falling, but for the showers we plead. And you say, I don't want to hear that right now. Okay, then maybe you've gone astray. Just saying. When the message seems to be in a language that you don't understand, maybe you've gone astray right there. I have gone astray, said thy servant. It's easy to get lost. I close with this thought, a little bit of a story. Again, it's a childhood story of mine. When I was 5 years old, I got my first dog. It was my dog. His name was Toby. And he was just a great dog. I raised him from a pup. He was just a young pup. Well, as time went on, we spent a lot of time together. We played in the woods together, in the backyard together, and just had a wonderful time. But as would happen, on a Saturday, Toby went missing, strangely, just disappeared. And I thought, wow, what's going on here? Oh, my dad, of course, looked late into Saturday night. My dad's a preacher, and had things to do, but he spent a good part of the evening looking for him. And Sunday came, and we're busy at church, plain and simple. So didn't look for him Sunday. Monday, couldn't find him. Tuesday, couldn't find him. Wednesday, couldn't find him. On Wednesday night, we went to church. And I was taught at home, it's just the way it was back then, that I, as a kid, I put my suit on, put my white shirt on, put my tie on, put my shine shoes on, everything, just dressed up for church, got my Bible and so on. And to this day, I'm amazed at the thought. We drove to the church, and in the field behind the church, it was about a mile and a half from our house, in the field behind the church was Toby. And I thought, it pays to go to church. No, I wasn't smart enough to think that at the time. For some reason, I guess maybe the dog just had an intuition that he knew we'd show up there and maybe he couldn't find his way home. I don't think I even waited for the car to stop. When my eyeballs were settled on him, I get out of the vehicle, white shirt, tie, suit, whole nine yards. I ran into a muddy field behind the church. It was a swampy area. I ran up to that little dog. He's just sitting there, looked timid and didn't look healthy and so on. I grabbed the little creature. I picked him up. I put him inside my jacket and hugged him. I didn't care less about a white shirt. Didn't care less about the tie. Didn't care less about the suit. Didn't care less about anything. I found my dog. And it seemed, no word of a lie, and I was a youngster. I was obviously about 7 years of age at this time. And so from there on my way back to the car, to put him in the car so we could put him in there and have church and then take him home, the Lord pierced my heart that something I never forgot to this day, plain and simple. These were the words that I recall. The Lord seemingly convicted me about the fact, that's what I've done for you. You get it? That's what I've done for you. It doesn't matter about the bloody cross. It doesn't matter about the beaten face. It doesn't matter about the beard plucked out. It doesn't matter about all that. I love you so much. I came and died on the cross for you so that you might follow me the rest of my days. I came to save your soul. You are lost. And I sought you, and I found you. Wow, what a thought. Just a child's thought, but it was real. Now, the Holy Spirit squeezed my heart at that point. But think about this again. I don't know. The pastor hears this, he won't have me back. But you know what? We're all sheep of his pasture. But the Bible says this. Isaiah 53:6. Need not turn to it, but it says this. The verse, first of all, may I say, the verse starts with all and ends with all. Do you understand in the Greek what that is? That's all. Do you understand in Hebrew what that is? That's all. All and all. Here's a verse. You know it. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord hath laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Starts with all and ends with all. So, in the Word of God, all are included. God speaks about everyone. This morning, you sit here in this fine auditorium and meeting place, and you're one of two people. You're lost or you're saved. It's very clear. Or, if you're saved, you're spiritual or you're carnal, according to the Bible. So you have to make up your mind today where you stand. For example, if you said, I've never called on Jesus to save me, I don't know if I'm going to heaven someday, then today is the day you make a choice and allow the Lord Jesus to draw you to himself and save your soul, and you become one of his sheep. We've all gone astray. The Bible makes that clear in many instances. Then, once that's taken care of, for those of you who are believers this morning, understand. The Bible says spiritual or carnal. One of the two, there's no in between. So, you must decide, according to the Word of God, what position you're in today. So what about it? It's your decision. Aren't you glad that you have the Word of God to direct you and to help you and to teach you. We've learned something this morning about this matter of the fact that as a believer, I've been saved since a child. Just about 70 years I've been a Christian. But you know, today, I'm in my 78th year. And today, on the 13th day of April 2025, I could go astray. Yep, I could. What do I do when I go astray? Lord, I'm like a lost sheep. That shouldn't happen, but it does. We're human. What should I do? Lord, seek your sheep. And he will. How about your heart today? Are you as close to the Lord as you ought to be? That's entirely up to you. Have you gone astray in your worship, your witness, God's will? Only you can answer that. But you do need to answer it so that the Lord can direct you. Now, you may say this morning, I know I'm in the perfect will of God today, and God bless you for that. And that's you. But if there's something today that you sense, I really need to check that. If a man could pen those words, 175 verses, and then at the last time he admitted, he said, I've gone astray, then that could happen to me. It could happen to you. And this morning, the best opportunity in the world to make that right is right here and right now. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us as we conclude this service, that our hearts would be drawn to you. Lord, I do not know the hearts of people in this room, but I do know that we are human, and I know that we're frail, and I know that we sometimes very, very easily can drift, or we can go astray, just get off course a little bit. So I pray, Lord, by the blessed Holy Spirit of God, that you'd convict us to take the action we need to take today to rectify this, knowing that you love us beyond our own understanding. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. In a moment, I'll ask Brother Kevin to come and close out the service, but our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed right now. And let me ask this question. Are you here today, and you would say in all honesty and sincerity, like the psalmist said, candidly, about his situation, you would say, I am not certain that heaven is my home, and I'd like to get the matter settled today. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I would ask simply, if you would do this, simply raise your hand, indicate to me that that's you, and I'd be willing to pray for you. I certainly don't know you personally. I won't pray for you by name, but I will pray for you. Is there someone who you say, I'm just not certain about this. I just want to get the matter cleared up. Okay, thank you. Secondly, you'd say, I really need the Lord's help to keep me on course, to keep me where I ought to be so I will not have to one day look back and say, that's where I strayed. Is that possible? That's you. Would you just simply slip your hand up and put your hand back down? God bless you. Thank you. Yes, all over the room. And you're being honest and sincere. You know, God blesses honesty and God blesses obedience. So you're a blessed person this morning because of the fact that you'd say, yeah, I got some work to do. Let me ask you, how many of us do not have any work to do in our lives? We all do. Lord, I pray now that you would bless those who have come to grips with the fact that they need your help to keep on course, to stay on course, or to get back on course. I pray you do a work in our hearts today. Lord, keep me by your grace, by your mercy, by your love. Lord, keep us going straight ahead in a straight line in our love for you and our service for you and our worship for you and your will for our lives. I pray it direct. Again, Lord, we thank you for this time together. I thank you for the attentiveness. I thank you for these dear, faithful folks and for the pastor and people of the Anchor Baptist Church. I pray you'd continue to use and bless them in these days, for it's in your name I pray. Amen. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Kevin will close out the service.
As you mentioned, every head bowed, every eye closed. We'll have any music playing. We're just going to pray. Ask God to search our hearts. Search our hearts. You search yours. I need to search mine. Many truths presented from Psalm 119 today. I was really encouraged and helped. I was also really challenged. Psalmist
175 verses. On the final verse, he was still mentioning how easy it was for him to be distracted, how easy it was for him to fall astray. Hey, maybe you've been walking with the Lord for many years. Maybe you've been talking with the Lord for many years, and you know him and he knows you. And yet, there's an area of your life, or there's multiple areas of your life that you know that you have really gone astray. I have really gone astray in certain areas. And this is a time during the church service to get your hearts right with the Lord. As the book of Psalms says about the nation of Israel, their hearts were not right with him. Our hearts are to be right with him. And I hope your heart, after this service, we'll be right with him. And I'm praying the same for myself. So just take a moment where you're seated, Christian, to do that. Maybe you're not saved. Maybe if you passed away today, you're not sure what would happen to you. Maybe if, heaven forbid, you died this moment, you believe you would be in hell, or you're not sure what would happen to you. The Word of God teaches that these things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. God teaches that you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. And he's already asked during an invitation here for a raise of hands. Maybe you raised your hand. Maybe you need to talk to me. Maybe you need to talk to Brother Arbo or another man of God or another lady of God here in the church today. And you need to get settled this matter of your salvation and you would just ask, hey, I need to know for sure about life after death. I need to know for sure that Jesus is my personal Lord and Savior. And there's nothing more important than that. Maybe you're clinging on to your religion. Maybe it's Buddha. Maybe it's Vishnu. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's another God in your life. Maybe it's money or some idol, humanism, what have you. It's time to put those aside and seek only Jesus. And, you know, hey, the same way we're saved is the same way we're sanctified. It's simply Jesus. And so maybe, Christian, you're struggling with sin as I do many, many days. And maybe you need to come forward. Maybe you make a decision in your seat. But I would just encourage you. Let's take a moment right now. Lord God, we thank you for your word. In the quietness of this moment, I am reminded that many times as human beings, we are afraid of silence. In the hustle and bustle of this world, we get so busy. We get, as the preacher said this morning, distracted. We fall astray. Help us not to fall astray in the things of God. And in our spiritual walk, and in our walk with you, Lord, may we place you preeminent. May we place you first. May you not just simply have a place in our life by rote or nominally, but that you would really have first place in our life. You would be the center of our joy. You'd be the center of our lives. Lord, as has been prayed multiple times, publicly and privately throughout this meeting, Lord, if there's anyone here that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior today, I pray that you would convict them of sin, of righteousness, of judgment, and that they would be saved today, that they would not delay, saved by grace, through faith, from the wrath of God, that would they would place their faith where you have placed our sin on the cross of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we do pray that you would help us to walk the remainder of this day and the remainder of this week, Lord, as we get started on the right foot here on a Sunday morning in church. All of us here, really, this is kind of a Sunday morning crowd. It's very easy to say, well, I'm religious because I'm here. Lord, we are desirous to hear from you, and I pray that you would just speak to us throughout this day. Lord, I pray that we'd meditate on the message this morning, to cover it with second thoughts, to simply stir these things up to remembrance in our minds and remember how easy it is for us to go astray. Challenge us, convict us, but also encourage us in your word that it is not just our solace, but it is our sustenance, it is our joy, it is our lifeline in this wicked old world and society in which we live. Lord, as evil men and seducers wax worse and worse, we thank you that the power of God does not wax less and less. And Lord, I pray that you would simply guide us, provide for us, and we, as we go our separate ways this afternoon, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to reconvene, come together tonight with your blessing, and dismiss us with your blessing. Protect us, Lord, and we pray for the sweet fellowship this afternoon and tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd just bless us and encourage us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.